Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Indeed it is. Raleen Marks, how are you this afternoon?
Good, thanks. And you?
Most good. Thank you very much. Lots to talk about this afternoon. How about we begin with the inauguration of the Abraham Accords Caucus in the Knesset? What is that body?
Well, it's just extraordinary. This is a body within the Knesset dedicated to all the pursuits related to the Abraham Accords. And Israel has welcomed special guests, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, as well as all the ambassadors of the countries that are part of the Accords and those from the American administration and various others that worked towards ensuring that these Accords were signed. So a very, very special day in the Knesset today. A day of goodwill. We've heard from our Foreign Minister Yair Lapid saying that, you know, if the Palestinians wanted to enter into these accords, that Israel's hand is extended in peace. We've had a few controversial moments as well. The Prime Minister Netanyahu, the former Prime Minister, not a Freudian slip, sorry, but he was the Prime Minister when the accords were signed, and his wife walking in to the caucus with Ivanka and Jared Kushner to great applause. Sadly, there weren't any applause for our current Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, but, you know, he has come in at a time when these accords were already signed. So it's a day of peace. It's a day of goodwill. It's a day of ensuring that everything that was signed over the past year keeps on gaining momentum.
Perhaps not as much goodwill would be the founders of Ben and Jerry's. What did they have to say that upset media?
If there was ever a car crash of an interview, this was about as epic a car crash as you get. Ben and Jerry's founders, Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield, hence the Ben and Jerry's, were interviewed by Axiom. It's a show on HBO Max. Very, very good interview on behalf of the journalist interviewing. And she went for the jugular, asking them about their policies on Israel, withholding money, and saying, can you clarify a few points? And Jerry Greenfield says, I think the outrage is largely based on misinformation. I think Ben and Jerry's and Unilever are largely being characterized as boycotting Israel, which is not the case at all. We were always in favor of a two-state solution, but the policy of the Israeli government has been to endorse the settlements in the occupied territories that keep making it harder. They also said, you know, they don't view it as withholding money. They don't want their ice cream sold in the occupied territories. However, and I'm quoting you verbatim, when they were asked by her, you know, how come you've made this decision, but you're not, say, boycotting other places or even domestically? You have issues with voting issues in the state of Georgia. You have issues with regards to abortion rights in Texas. But, you know, why Israel and why not there? And they were literally stumped. You could see them kind of laughing uncomfortably, shrugging their shoulders. Ben Cohen said, you know, well, I disagree with the U.S. government, but we couldn't stop selling in the U.S. I think it's fine to be involved with a country or to be a citizen of a country and protest some of the country's actions. We hugely support Israel's right to exist, but we are against a particular policy. But all that it does is it exposes a double standard and some absolutely glaring hypocrisy. You know, they said Ben and Jerry's publicly supported Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, but over the years, the company continues to sell more ice cream and thrive. So in other words, it's all about the money here, Simon.
Let's move on to this really interesting trip by Angela Merkel, her farewell trip to Israel.
Yes, landing Motzei Shabbat, the outgoing German Chancellor, she is stepping down from politics. Angela Merkel is in the country. The first thing she did on Saturday morning was meet with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, speaking amongst many things, reiterating the firm bonds between the two countries. And she said Israel's security will always be central to any German government. And that's really reassuring as a new government comes in. And then she went on to meet with President Herzog, who expressed his appreciation and the appreciation of the whole Jewish world as far as her commitment to fighting anti-Semitism, to Israel's security, and also preserving, very importantly, the memory and the education of the Holocaust. What I found particularly moving was a picture with her and all nine of the female members of Knesset. It was just such a strong statement about the power of women. We are in International Day of Girl Child today. So it was a lovely moment to see that for all you young girls who are listening, wondering if you can become a leader, that is a lovely example for you to use as a reference.
Rose,
she then went on. Yeah.
Sorry, I want to talk to you just a moment about Merkel, because if you think about it, Israel's right to self-defense, having being born out of the ashes of the Holocaust, I mean, that is the single most important reason for Israel to exist. There were massive disagreements between Merkel and Israel about how to handle the Iranian issue. Does she have the right to have an opinion on that issue?
I think she does. I think we can't negate the fact that these two countries, and she actually addressed that in her speech at Yad Vashem. She laid a wreath. I noticed that she changed out of a tan-colored jacket into a black jacket, as befits the somber mood of Yad Vashem. That really, really stuck out for me. It's not from a fashion perspective, but just because I haven't seen other female leaders do that before. And it really was very, very symbolic. But she did speak about the hard work that both countries have done to repair ties. And it's an extraordinary lesson for the world. The challenge now is to maintain those ties and make sure, and she said, you know, Germany bears the responsibility for the show. You know, make no doubt about that. And she said it's on the onus of every German person, you know, to preserve the memory and to ensure that we don't have events like Holocaust denial, which sadly is growing more and more prevalent around the world, especially as we lose eyewitnesses in the form of our survivors.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we have to acknowledge that Germany, post the Shoah, post World War II, with a changing government, has gone out of its way, has done its utmost to try and make up for that. We see the strong ties. Just last week, we had the German Luftwaffe training with our Israeli Air Force. An image, beautiful image captured, was a German fighter jet painted on its wings with the flags of both countries. You know, these are very powerful symbolic statements. And Germany really supporting Israel in the international forums where anti-Semitism or these kind of issues are central to what is being discussed. So we can't negate that.
Okay, all right, I hear you. And then this massively important issue about the Israeli government, who may make Facebook legally liable for content on its platform, because something does need to be done.
Absolutely. I think we can all concur with that. We're all watching the Senate hearings with a lot of fascination. And I don't know, Simon, is Facebook or big tech about to become the next tobacco industry? Who knows? But there was a report on Israeli TV last night that made public that a team of government-appointed Israeli experts, lawmakers, are going to sit and look at what kind of very, very stringent measures we can put in place to try and rein in the social media platforms like Facebook and others. And what they want to do is hold Facebook legally accountable for posts on its platforms. So basically what this means, and the team is currently being selected by our Minister for Communications, Joaz Hendel, is what it will seek to do is ensure that Facebook reveals its policies on censorship, banning, and how posts are placed in its algorithm. Now, I think I spoke to you last week that many of us who work in Israel advocacy are seeing a clamp down on our posts. But we've also seen, especially when we go back to May and the conflagration between Israel and Hamas, this incredible surge of anti-Semitic rhetoric on various platforms. So we want Facebook to be held accountable, to make public how they monitor that. And if they remove any content or users from the platform, they need to provide details explaining why they have done that, so we understand that. At the moment, Facebook, other social media platforms are not legally liable for misinformation, untrue or harmful content that does appear on their platforms, unlike newspapers or magazines sure. where you can hold them accountable.
Yeah, no, they claim they're not a publisher. So, Ro, we're out of time. We leave it there, but I've got no doubt you and I will be chatting about that issue again and again. Thank you for your input. We will chat tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.